You're listening to Panel Borders, the podcast version of Resonance FM's weekly show about the world of comics. I'm Sarah Lightman, and in this episode I'm looking at the work of Eastside Education Trust in Hackney. Later in the show, I'll be talking to four of the young comic strip creators, Chantel, Lecky and Nikita, who have worked with the Eastside Trust and are seeing their comics printed in an anthology called Tales of Diversity, being launched next month. First, though, I'm talking to two of the tutors from the organisation, Raki Jasani and Trudy Johnston, who have set up a project called Graphic Truths as a way of engaging young people with comic book creation to tell stories that are personal to them. Before that, here's a word from our sponsors.
Resonance FM is London's only non-profit community radio art station, who need your donations to help keep the station and podcasts on air. All the program makers and all the engineers all work for free to bring you shows as diverse as The Bike Show, The Free University of the Airways, Hooting Yard, Speakers Resonance Corner, FM accepts donations in the form of cheques, credit and debit cards, bank transfers, PayPal and cash. Go to www.resonancefm.com for more details. We also accept hobnobs and teabags. Your donation means our continued existence.
Hello there, I'm Trudy Johnston. I'm the volunteer coordinator at Eastside Educational Trust, and over the last few months I've been project managing some work we've been doing with young people and comics.
Hi, I'm Raki Jasani and I'm the Arts Development Director at Eastside, and we began this journey of exploration with comics really a few months ago. I think we have been running some introductory workshops in comics and illustration for young people. And we noticed that those workshops would often get oversubscribed, and we could obviously tell that it was something that was really engaging young people, and we wanted to build on these foundations. So we decided, rather than just offer one-day taster workshops, we wanted to go into this area a little bit more deeply. And so we wrote a funding application to the Arts Council for a young people's artistic bursary, which was very much about working with illustrators and comic artists to develop different models that would really engage young people and really try and explore the art form, but from a young people's point of view. But we also wanted to stretch the artists and develop some of their interests. So initially we linked up four visual artists and illustrators with a couple of writers as well, and we used writers that were very different as well in their subject matter. So we used we worked with someone who came from a journalism background, and we also worked with a spoken word artist as well. So they were very, very different, and we thought that would really take the project in interesting directions. And with that first part of the project, we really explored lots of different kinds of explorations of the genre. So we looked at graphic poetry, we looked at graphic reportage, we looked at being inspired by music, we looked at we actually looked at some of the origins of manga as well, because manga is really the thing that brings young people in. But we wanted them to explore that, but to explore it deeply as well. So we actually thought about things like woodblock prints and so on as well. So that first part was very experimental. It really supported the artists in developing their own work, and also in really fully integrating the writing elements as well. And a lot of the artists had commented on how they sometimes had trouble with the stories and the words, and so working with writers was I think really useful for them. And as we were developing that, we thought we wanted to go further and really encourage young people to have their own work developed and published, really. And we'd done some work a couple of years ago with the Arts Council as well, looking at diversity in publishing, and that project was very interesting as well, because it also threw up lots of comments from young people about how they felt that their voices weren't being heard, and also that they felt that they were sometimes, I suppose, they had an image in the media that was not always very, very positive, and that quite often when young people were asked what they thought, it was often led, I think, by by an adult view of what they should be commenting on. I think Trudy was just saying yesterday that one of this group that's worked on this project was actually saying that they were often, you know, they are asked about their opinions, but it's usually their opinions on gangs and knife crime rather than, you know, sometimes they don't really want to talk about that. There are lots of other things that interest them and they want to explore as well. So we just thought it was really important to have some sort of forum where they could express these views, but also something that was really accessible. I think sometimes the thought of writing lots also worries young people. And we wanted to work with young people with all sorts of skills. So we came up with this project with a view to A, getting young people's voices heard, and B, we really wanted to explore graphic reportage. We wanted to really continue some of the work we've been doing earlier and link writers and illustrators and get them to work together as well. So I guess that's how this project evolved as well. We applied for funding to MediaBox. We're delighted when we got that as well. And so this seems to be an area that's really taken off, and we're actually, I suppose, inspired by the work we've done on this project. We're now developing something for next year as well. So it's been great. It's been a really interesting journey for us as well as the young people involved.
What's very interesting about your project is it does what you say, and so far as giving those young people a voice, it's quite interesting autobiography in comics, which is a growing area of interest. I remember reading in some of the notes about the project that a lot of the youngsters were interested in manga, but they didn't necessarily know other forms of comics. And I was wondering, from the project that you've done, how you feel this kind of approach to autobiography within comics has been an effective tool for the project.
I think the mentor who worked on the project, Christopher Rainbow, really made an effort to introduce the young people to a wide variety of comics, and it opened up doors for them in showing that their stories can be just as valid as anything fictional or anything on screen. So the outcome of that was that we got a real diversity of styles and of subject matter within the magazine that we finally produced, and young people decided themselves that, you know, they would interview their parents or their friends or people they knew who worked in youth clubs. The comic was very much based on graphic reportage and encouraging young people to go out, interview people, use those kind of journalistic skills, and then make a comic from it and think about how that can be transformed into a narrative. So the autobiographical aspect of it, I think, quite empowered them to realise the importance of their own stories, and that something that they live and that they feel and think and experience can be of interest to other people.
And quite interesting with a lot of the autobiography is a lot of it is quite comparative, and they have looked at other members of their family and often other members of their family that grew up elsewhere, and they're comparing their childhood. And a lot of it is very funny and very quirky and humorous, but also very, very insightful. And I think they've really encapsulated the kind of crazy world of Facebook and mobile phones and constant communication, and just compared with their parents' childhood that didn't have all of that. So I think it's really developed their analytical skills as well. And I think a lot of them have been inspired to actually continue to look at other comics that are autobiographical. And I think it was news to them, A, that their stories were interesting, and B, that other people had actually, you know, I think a lot of young people did sort of start out thinking it needs to be fantasy. A lot of comics do need to be based in fantasy rather than based in fact. So I think that's been a really interesting.
I think they were surprised to find other people's stories so interesting when they discovered these comics that they were introduced to, and they couldn't put them down, and kind of, you know, we'd be trying to get them to do their own drawings, but they're like, oh, this is fantastic, and be completely compelled by it and open up a real new perspective for them, I think.
I think what's interesting about what you were doing as well is this whole idea about viewpoint, which journalism and media is probably being opened up to them, this idea that you approach something as a truth in a way, but actually it's a perception, it's a version, it's taken from somebody who's sitting somewhere within the space, but it's what they're seeing of it. And I'm sure you'll be able to tell me that when they were approaching their topics, they had to kind of think about their own viewpoints, even just visually on the page. Were they telling the story? Were they a narrator? And I'm this must have been something that they must have had to think about and approach.
Yes, and I think what is interesting is that a lot of their final pieces are based in interview and fact and research, but a lot of them have then become a little more abstract as well. So it is very much, I think they really started to experiment, you know, about that line between fact and fiction and crossing that line and understanding that, you know, there is no complete objectivity about any story. It's always told from someone's point of view, really. And I think that was something they, as they developed their work, they really began to experiment about that. And I think it's interesting as well how some of that reflects in their artwork, so that in one of the pieces, it's actually about someone who's dreaming about her childhood and where she originally comes from. And there's a bit at the beginning that's kind of based in London, and it's kind of very black and white, kind of very solid, blocky world. And then she goes into this whole dream space, and the kind of form of it becomes very abstract and dreamlike as well. So that they really began to experiment about how the story could be told through images, and that the images could actually reflect those elements as well, that telling a story is not just about those words, it's through their visual effects that they could actually probably talk a lot more about what's going on as well.
And tell me, why is Eastside running a project like this? Why does the Eastside Trust think this is an important project? You know, why are you investing in youngsters and comics?
I think our sort of development of work in this area has really been, I suppose it's been inspired by the young people themselves. We work with young people throughout the year, and I think that just that interest and fascination with comics, just because it is a popular and accessible art form, you know, and we could tell that it was something that really engaged young people. I think we were amazed whenever we run any kind of workshop that is to do with comics or manga or illustration, graphic novels, we get oversubscribed. So we thought, well, this is worth developing and exploring further and taking further and really enabling them to have their voices heard in a form that they want to tell their stories in, rather than superimposing once again that you must do it this way. And it's interesting, again, that sense of adults having a sense of what they think young people want to do and how they want to express themselves. And it's just quite interesting because you will hear about thousands of rap projects, and where we run rap projects as well, but I think there is a sense of young people, that's what they want, they just want to do rap. So, you know, and so you will just have thousands of rap. And really, I think we've kind of discovered as well that the young people that want to rap just do it, and they don't really want to go to a project to rap, but young people that want to tell their stories in this form, I think, really appreciate having some guidance and some help in developing their skills and finding out more. And particularly with this age group that we work with on this project, they're young people aged 16 to 19, they're really thinking about what they want to do next, and a lot of them are very interested in working in these areas. And so I think they really want to find out from people that are already doing it the best routes and the best way of getting into this area. And I think they want to hear from people that aren't necessarily their teachers, because yes, they have access to teachers, they probably have access to people that can, you know, point them towards university or college or whatever, but they want to hear from illustrators and journalists, and they want to hear about what it's really like and whether it is something that will suit them as well. So I think for all those reasons that we're doing it.
I think the project's been a great opportunity as well to really inform people and be a route of information for them, because the artists that they've met through the project have been so attentive and listened to their questions and given them information, and, you know, about the small press scene, about how to engage things, about how to photocopy your comics and give them to friends, about how it's not just something out there on a bookshelf that you can't access or ever become, but it's something that you know you can engage with on a daily basis. And so I think the participants are taking away from the project a sense that it's something very achievable and something that is a big world that they can absolutely tap into and explore.
what I like very much about the way Eastside seems to approach their projects is you're not only investing in the young people, you invest with the artists you work with, and you're interested to see how they're finding the project, how it's developing their aims, what they're learning from the people they're collaborating with. And it seems that that's very much the ethos here. You're investing in all the groups that you work with.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we've always believed that, as I said, our primary aim is to work with young people, but people working with young people are only as good as the knowledge they have, and I think we're really interested in developing and stretching our artists and opening new doors and opening their eyes to new things as well. So we're really interested in doing cross-art form collaborations as well, so everyone gets challenged. And I think that was what was really nice about the original strand of Graphic Truths we did, which was very much sort of supporting the artists to develop as well, because that was sort of saying, here you are, you may not know quite how you may work together with each other and a group of young people, but have a go and see what comes out of it. And it was really interesting when we first had a planning meeting and everyone was excited but not quite sure how it was all going to work out, and then it sounded like the end result was absolutely amazing, and all the artists got so much out of it, and that was exciting for us as well, because we felt, you know, not only were our future projects going to be richer for that, but the artists had an enriching experience as well, and really that just makes it better for everyone. You know, they probably, it's better when they're inspired as well, and then it doesn't become something they do by rote, and it prevents the projects becoming something that begins to feel a bit like school for both the artists and the young people involved, because we'd so much more prefer for the artists to, I suppose, have a learning journey themselves as well. That's kind of like a pompous way of putting it, but it is about them developing and stretching their skills, and I think that's what's been really nice to hear, is how they've been inspired as well to go back to some of these areas in their own work and look at how some of this sort of work might be incorporated into what they're doing as well, and kind of, I suppose, re-inspire them to look at some of those areas.
Would you like to tell us one or two of the names of the artists who work on the projects?
Yeah, well, on this project we had Christopher Rainbow as the writer, and then on some of the other earlier Graphic Truths projects we've worked with Oliver Lambden, Christopher Rainbow was involved as well, Alan Stott and Tom Humberstone, and then we've worked with Shane Solanke, does spoken word, and Eileen Condon, who comes from journalism as well. So it's just nice putting lots of different people together really, and seeing what comes out. And what's been great about this project as well, about inspiring young people as well, is that this group visited a gallery as part of the Comica Festival, and once again that work really inspired and influenced them. When they visited, they were shown around by Tom Humberstone, who's another illustrator, so it's not just the people they were working with. And the exhibition they saw was about political corruption. It was illustrators that actually researched that, and it was their take on it. So it mirrored what the young people were doing in terms of doing some research and then having a creative response to it. And I think, you know, we feel that we can really see in a lot of the work the influence of that as well.
Well, thanks very much. I'm looking forward to speaking to some of the young artists involved in this project. But it's been lovely speaking to both of you, and I'm looking forward to the exhibition, which will be happening in January. Do you want to talk a little bit about the exhibition for us?
We're going to have the magazine launch party on January the 16th at the Rag Factory on Heneage Street, just off of Brick Lane. It'll be from 2 to 4, and it'll be a chance to see the young people's work, celebrate what they've done. Paul Gravett from Comica will be coming along and speaking a bit about comics and young people and what we've been doing, and there'll be a chance to get hold of a copy of the magazine as well.
Thanks very much. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Thank you.
Next, here's my interview with Chantel, Lecky and Nikita about the comics they created for Eastside's sequential art anthology, Tales of Diversity.
I've got two Chantels with me, so I'm going to go to Chantel, who made a great page about something that wasn't so great that happened, or could happen.
Basically, it was about benefit fraud, and the reason why I'm so sure is because we ran out of space in the comic, so they had to cut down to one page. It was like 4 pages originally. And to sum it up, Jane was basically working. She got fired and she had no way to support her kids, and basically she had to find another job, and she managed to sign on as well, and but in the end she got caught, so she arrested.
Wow. I mean, is this a story that you know happens around the place, or for people you know, or...?
Yeah, it does happen that quite a lot. But I'm not the only one who was working on this comic. Rosie was working on it with me as well, and she knows people that have been in this situation. I haven't met anyone who's been in that situation before.
How do you feel about making a comic story about something that happens every day? Is that something you're used to, seeing comics about day-to-day life, things that happen to people?
No, it's not something I'm used to, but it took a while to put it together because I had to get my head around it. And
how did you choose to make it like those sorts of visuals? I see you're using like text. You didn't use handwriting, did you?
No, we didn't. We drew the comic first on paper, and then we kind of used it as a script. Right? So on Photoshop, we got some pictures of real life people, and when we was illustrated it and added some text speech bubbles to it.
So you kind of used collage, didn't you?
Yes.
And did you find it interesting having to work with a space? Because you had, a page is quite a restricted area.
I originally did 4 pages, right? So what you see here now is not what I did. I got all the work done, and then they cut it down a bit.
But in publishing, I think we all have to deal with editors, and editors will always change and cut and make things as they need it to be. So that's probably quite a good experience I've gone through. But it's a great piece of work, so well done, Chantal. Now, I've got Chantal and
Lecky,
who collaborated together on their story. Do you want to tell me about what you did?
We both interviewed a gay person that dressed up like a girl.
Yeah.
And I interviewed one of my friends that's bisexual, but he doesn't dress up like a girl. And we made up a story of how they might be in the real world and how my teenagers react to that.
Because there's a bit of a sense that there's a kind of a gang who attack or be mean or say bullying statements to this person. So when I read the story, I was quite upset for a minute. And I think it's quite a powerful thing that you created a story where I had quite a lot of emotion when I was reading it.
I do feel that some young people like in London would react that way to gay and bisexual people. Because we interviewed some straight people and their views on bisexual people, that's how their views were on them, most of them, about 50%. And we basically introduced that in our story.
Yeah, and also I asked my interviewee, what should I call the whole thing? And he said something about the dollhouse. So we kind of put that idea of that's how the story is going to be all about. Because it's like a girly, glamorous side he wanted to bring across in the story.
And do you feel that if people read this comic, they might change the way they might behave in the future? Do you think people might suddenly think, I might have laughed at someone or made a kind of comment about somebody who's different from me, and maybe they might not do that now? Do you think that's something that comics can do? Do you think reading a story can change things?
I just think this story that brings more awareness to gay, and that people have to deal with it if they're there.
And accept it, who they are as an individual.
And one of the things I think, both Chantal's and Lecky, with your work, these aren't necessarily situations that have happened to you, but they're situations that you're quite sensitive to, and that maybe also once you research it, like acting as a journalist to some degree, you have to learn, read about something. In a way, you put yourself a tiny bit in that position, you kind of imagine yourself. Do you think that happened when you were doing something, you could feel yourself almost to be that character? Or almost you could feel some of the feelings they might have?
Yeah.
Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Was that something you expected to happen? Did you think it would always remain like a subject outside of yourself? Or did you ever think in some way you might absorb it a little bit?
Not exactly, because he's my close friend, so when I'm talking to him, it's just like, I accept how he is, so anything that he tells me, I'll keep it as a secret, but I'll ask him if it's okay, I can use this in the interview. So I'll ask him for permission first, before I go ahead with it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, wow. Because if I expose his personal stuff, then obviously that's going to be all up to me to make it up to him and say, sorry for doing this and that, so...
That's all kind of the ethics of journalism. That's really... And did you know anything about this
before you started the project, that when you interview people you kind of need to...
Yeah, no.
And over here I've got Nikita.
Hiya.
Hi, Nikita. Do you want to talk to us about what you contributed?
Yeah, I made a comic about lead diamond mining in Sierra Leone, and my inspiration for this piece came from, I did an interview on my friend, and her parents used to mine diamonds in Sierra Leone, so that's what the piece is about, basically.
And it's very interesting. First, this of all the works, this one feels very much to be like a piece of journalism. You chose kind of images and text, and the whole page looks...
Because I couldn't draw as good, I decided to get, like, photos and, like, to change them in Photoshop, just, like, change the structure of it. But they're, like, photos that were changed. They're not hand-drawn.
But it's interesting. I mean, when I look at that, I don't think of it as someone who can't draw. I think of it as someone who's very cleverly used images that were very powerful. There's a whole selection process that you've done. And also, you also used a printed text. So you didn't do handwriting or anything like that?
Because it's not very... I wanted to be more formal, and I thought it'd be look much more professional and formal if it was written in proper text. Yeah.
And how was it to ask someone about, obviously, quite a painful story in their family's life?
I think it was kind of... I think the more personal it became, the more, like, the readers can kind of associate themselves with it, and it becomes more personal to you. And also, like, asking them questions... They kind of, because they know what happened, it was kind of interesting. Like, no, myself never, like, known anything about it before. So it was, like, interesting for me as well.
And so you learned about a topic and then you had to write about it yourself. And do you think it was interesting as well? Because things like diamonds, everyone thinks they're so wonderful and marvellous.
The diamonds are always kind of, like, seen as something so precious and stuff. But you never really think about the people behind it and, like, where they actually come from. So, yeah, that's another aspect of it.
And did you feel with what you did that you might change people's attitudes to things a little bit with what you wrote?
I hope so. I don't expect, like, to change the world with it, but, like, I think it kind of opens up your eyes and, like, not everyone sees where diamonds are actually coming from and stuff. And I think this kind of shows them just a little bit.
And I'm interested to ask all of you as a question. How did you feel differently when you were writing your stories that you were using images, like you had to use images? And you could have written this, for example, just as a text, but using images, did that make you think differently about your topic? Was any of that different?
Like, for our piece, we didn't actually draw, and we asked Christopher Rainbow to illustrate it for us. So what we did, we just gave him an idea how we wanted to be in each scene, and then I had to do the speech bubbles by writing the text and everything down. And say how I want it to be in order and what colours we should use and how the character's supposed to look in this way, not to make it that way.
And do any of you, did it help you? Had you read any comics beforehand that helped you? Had you looked at any illustrated books that give you an idea of what you wanted it to look like?
Well, yeah, Christopher Rainbow brought in some comics of, like, what he's found inspirational to him. They all got a chance to look at them and get an idea of how we want to draw into comics and how we wanted them to look.
It's been really great speaking to you all, so thank you so much, and I really look forward to seeing the final copy of the magazine.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks. For more info about the Eastside Education Trust, please visit their website www.eastside.org.uk, and if you can, do come along to the Rag Factory, 16 to 18 Hinniage Street, London, on the evening of the 16th of January 2010, to celebrate the launch of the Tales of Diversity anthology. For more information about my monthly comics discussion event, Ladies Do Comics, which I run with Nicola Streeton, which is also held at the Rag Factory, please see our website www.ladiesdocomics.com. Our next meeting is on Monday the 25th of January from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. with guest speaker Carrie Fransman, and the book we will be discussing will be Blankets by Craig Thompson. To find out more about my work, please see my website, www.sarahlightman.com. Thanks for listening.